Father, we thank you again for the privilege to come into your house. You said your house will be called a house of prayer, prayer to petition before you. So now I petition that you would allow the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our God, Paraclete, to have the preeminence. That means let him govern every facet, Father. I pray he'll speak through me to do what? To encourage your people. Prepare them, God. Let them know who you are more deeply and more affectionately. So right now I pray you give them spiritual eyes to see, ears to hear what your voice says to them today. Then give them a heart to embrace the reality of your divine truth. And Father, we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory and honor. And we ask and declare and decree it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to get ahead of me today, you can turn your iPad, iPhone, Android to Matthew chapter 26. And also you can go to John chapter 6. I know that your iPad don't have that, but you need a Bible for that. What a little doohickey right here. See, so we got two verses there. Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 through 29, then John chapter 6, verses 52 through 55. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 52 through 55. I just want to say that anybody here like to watch movies? Love them. Love movies. And you know, sometimes the movie will show the end of the movie first. Yeah. Then it'll back up, right? And when it backs up, you're trying to figure out what happened there? What transpired? What made it come to the end like that? Well, today I'm going to take you to the end first and then bring you back to the beginning. Is that okay? Because not Christian walking is like that sometimes. God has shown you that you're walking in complete victory while you're walking in defeat. Why? Because God is omnipotent. He sees you way down the road there, but you see yourself right here. But not God. God wants us to get spiritual clarity in our eyesight. He wants to see you. He wants you to see him the way he sees you. He told a man named Gideon. He said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said, who, me? Not me. Well, because God sees so far ahead. And that's the way he sees us as well, too. Walking in total victory. No matter what you're going through in life, God sees you. Victorious. Victorious. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we do things that we don't understand what the significance of why we're doing them. When I was a little kid, I grew up in church all my life. But I couldn't understand why First Sunday was so important. I could wait for First Sunday because it was a juice time and cracker time. Not understanding what that really meant. Didn't understand what the blood meant. Didn't understand what the cracker meant. But I would take it every Sunday, first Sunday, come around. And anyway, who said you had to do it on the first Sunday only? I know. I'm going to message today. In my household, we do it on a weekly basis. Because there's no scripture that says first Sunday. When I show you what the body and the blood is, you understand why you should do it more often. But the Bible says in Mark 7:13 that making the word of God of null effect through your traditions. Traditionally, we only did it on first Sunday. But I want you to break out of that tradition. Break out and break free. Amen. Now, when we read the Old Testament, that is the beginning of what God's order was like. But the old system was leading and guiding us into the new system. Amen. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, let's go there, matter of fact. Keep your finger where you're at. But Romans chapter 15, I'll read it for you. I know you only got your iPad and only go one place at a time. Romans 15, verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means before time, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. So when you read the Old Testament, that'll give you a pattern of what God was doing in the Old Testament to bring you to the reality of what's happening in the New Testament. Amen? So now let's go to Matthew real quick, and we're going to walk you to the end of the scene first. Then we're going to back up to the beginning. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Now that alone would bring kind of confusion if you don't understand what he's talking about here. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's go down to John chapter 6. Because when I heard that for the first time as a child, I had no idea what he's talking about, blood and body. Is it cannibalism? What is he talking about? Well, we're going to find out that I wasn't the only one confused when I read this scripture right here. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 52, it says, "And the Jews therefore spoke among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?'" Again, they confused just like I was as a child. "Then Jesus said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath" what? "Eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last days, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. There is divine life in the blood of Jesus Christ. In order to understand the blood of Jesus, we must first understand the purpose of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. Why did God require blood to be shed? That's a question I have for you. Why did God require animal sacrifice? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why. To provide a temporary covering for sin. The second reason why is to demonstrate the severity of sin. If you go to Ecclesiastes, turn left and stop at Ecclesiastes, it says something very interesting in chapter 8. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil." Sometimes people think they should get it right away, but God is so merciful, he put a pause on there for a reason. So again, sacrifices was to demonstrate the severity of sin. And the third reason is to foreshadow the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. To foreshadow the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, go to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, and we're going to walk through that passage. Now, when it says foreshadow, in the Old Testament they had things called types and shadows. I don't know if this is going to work or not, but let's watch over here real quickly. You can probably see my shadow right here if you look down on the floor. But the shadow is not really me. I'm over here a lot, but my shadow is cast right here. So in the Old Testament, they had a lot of types and shadows. That's why in the book of Psalms it says that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because death is only a shadow, because we never die. So in the Old Testament, you're going to see shadows and types, shadows and types. So in Leviticus, turn there, please, with me. Chapter 17. Y'all waiting for the preacher, huh? Verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." If you go to any emergency hospital, emergency room, and someone's bleeding, the first thing they're going to say is, "Stop the bleeding." Because according to God's word, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to do what? To make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that make atonement for your soul. When I read that scripture, I said, "Lord, that sounds like to me the blood speaks." It speaks to people who are even dead. Then I went to Genesis chapter 4, and I read something in verse 8. And it says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him," or he killed him. "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth from the ground." That's a dead man blood crying. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, we said that the reason why God ordered the sacrifice in the Old Testament was to do what? To make a temporary covering. So in Leviticus, it says that for the life of the flesh is in the blood, but it also says that to do what? To make an atonement for you. To atone for us. The word atone simply means to cover. So God gave a covering for sin. The covering of blood would postpone God's judgment. Now keep in mind, God has a dual nature. God's both holy and merciful. Thank God for the merciful part. Amen. God is so holy, sin cannot even stay in his sight. That's why in heaven, there is no sin, only down here in earth realm. And when sin did appear in heaven, the Bible says, Jesus said himself, "I saw Satan like lightning fall to the ground." Because sin cannot stay in the same presence with God. God is perfectly holy. And his holiness requires sin to be paid for. But since God is merciful, he doesn't want to give us what we deserve. Whew, thank God for that. That's an escape clause for me. I don't know about y'all, but God, that's an escape clause, right? Go to Psalms chapter 103. I'm going to give you a lot of word today. I want you to meditate on it day and night. You have a good success then. God does not want us to get what we deserve. He don't even want the sinner to get what they deserve. But as a little boy, I didn't know about prayer correctly. So I say, "Lord, get them. Get them, Lord. They mess with me, so get them, Lord." Out of context. God is merciful. Psalms 103, listen to what it says in verse 10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." In modern language, we didn't get what we deserve because God extended his mercy beyond what we can comprehend. Go to Ezra. Go to Ezra. We're going to confirm that. Ezra. And my Bible is at page 703. Ezra chapter 9. Verse 13 says, And after all that has come upon us, for what? Our evil deeds. And for our great trespass, seeing that our God has punished us less than our iniquity deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this. God is merciful. So he instituted the system of animal sacrifice that the blood of animals would, what, postpone his judgment. The second reason he says that he required animal sacrifice was to demonstrate the severity of sin. Go to Genesis chapter 2. I told you today we're going to go up and down the Bible to give you a foundation of why we take communion. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. When you get there, say amen. It says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die." Violating God's principle brings what? Death. In Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. But then God carries on, so there's a gift, though, that he gives to us to deliver us from that wrath of God. Amen. He wanted man to see the cost of bringing him back in right position with God. So what he did was he took an innocent animal for a guilty man and had him sacrifice. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? The innocent man, Jesus, had to go to Calvary for a guilty man named Edward and be sacrificed. That's mercy. That's grace. And one thing God will not allow, though, is human effort to get you back in communion with God. No matter how great your efforts may or works may be, it will never suffice for God's plan to redeem man. Go to Genesis chapter 3, next page over, verse number 7. Remember, blood was shed to atone for man's sin. So when Adam sinned, the first thing he did, he put his own program into place. Then the Bible says in verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Fig leaves. Fig leaves are human effort. That's what a fig leaf is. Fig leaf is trying to cover yourself in your own way. That's a fig leaf. Going to church every Sunday is a fig leaf. Singing in the choir is a fig leaf. Witnessing is a fig leaf. The only thing God will accept is blood sacrifice. He showed us, go down to verse 21. God showed you the pattern of what he will accept only as a covering. "Unto Adam also and to his wife, the Lord God made coats of skin to clothe them." Well, let's back up then. How did they get coats of skin? It had to be an animal involved somewhere to be killed. Amen? And it wasn't like we have now in 2016. God didn't take those animals to the cleaners to get them dry clean. He killed them and put them on them right away while that blood was still upon them to do what? To cover them. Because God wants to atone for sin. Keep in mind, God is holy. And he's so holy, he can't even look at sin. So God said, "Don't worry, I got a plan for you. This is a temporary covering in these skins right now. But I got somebody coming in today that's going to make a permanent sacrifice for you. And that blood will never lose its power." There's power. There's power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, that's power. No, I'm telling you, there is power. The third reason God caused animal sacrifice was to foreshadow that perfect and complete sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament, it filled the types and shadows that God required. But again, it was pointing us to Jesus. So question again, what are types and shadows? What are types and shadows? Well, a type or shadow is a person, event, place, experience, or ceremony that is recorded in the Old Testament to represent or point to some future person, event, place, experience, or ceremony in the New Testament. You got that? You got that? Did you get that? I'll say it again real slow. A type or shadow is a person, event, place, experience, or ceremony that is recorded in the Old Testament to represent or point to some future person, event, place, experience, or ceremony in the New Testament. So that animal is pointing to somebody. That animal is pointing to somebody. So I walk through the process. I want to walk through the process with you to give you a better understanding of communion. So when you think about communion, think about the Passover. That will be the type. Communion will be the anti-type, what God was pointing to. Turn to your Bibles in Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to walk this out. Because after this is all over, we're going to take communion with the understanding of what God meant when he talked about the blood and the body of Christ. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. When you get there, say amen. It says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb," say lamb, "according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." So every family had to have a lamb. I couldn't give LaJuan my lamb. I had to have my own personal lamb. That's why you can't have salvation for your kids, because they need it themselves. Because everybody got to accept the lamb. Go to verse 6. "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly, the congregation of the Israel, shall kill it in the evening." So you had to have a lamb, then you had to do what? Kill the lamb. Verse 5 gives the qualification of the lamb. No, I went ahead of myself. "Your lamb shall be without," what? "Without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it for your sheep or from your goats." So the first thing, every family needed a lamb. And verse 5 gives a qualification of that lamb. Verse 6 says something very powerful. Then you have to do what? Kill the lamb. I can prove to you that that lamb they're talking about is Jesus Christ. You can write this down. John 1:23 says that, "Behold, I saw the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He tells us that, yeah, this lamb in the Old Testament is a type of the real lamb that's going to come to take away your sins permanently. So again, what are the qualifications? One, every family needed a lamb. That lamb had to be without spot or blemish. And the third thing, you had to kill the lamb. Say, kill the lamb. Now, if you look at it very carefully, everybody in here killed the lamb. That's why Jesus went to Calvary, because we killed the lamb. I know we wanted to blame other folks, but we killed the lamb. Our sin killed the lamb. Verse 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it." Go to verse 22 real quick. And ye shall take of the bush of hyssop and dip the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel, the two side posts of the blood with blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. So first you had to do was what? Kill the lamb. You had to get the blood from the lamb. Then he said, take hyssop. Hyssop was a plant, a common plant. But hyssop is a type of faith. So when you take your communion, it's a faith. You got to believe the blood and the body of Christ. So they had to take that hyssop and put blood all against the lintel, all around the lintel. Verse 11 says, and they shall eat it with your loins on, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. What did he say? He said, we're going to go real quick. We got to eat it and get out of here because God's going to pass over. Just think if somebody disobeyed what God said, what would happen to that family? God had a purpose in that blood being shed. So we had to apply the blood. Second thing we had to do was put it in a certain location in order to get deliverance. Amen. Verse 8 says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Unleavened bread. Leaven in scripture means a type of sin. So he's saying, get the sin out of your life. You got to get the sin out. So unleavened bread gets the sin out. Amen. Then he said you got to eat it with bitter herbs. Why did God say bitter herbs? Because God wanted them to remember how bitter it was when they was in sin. It was bitter in Egypt. They had tough bondage in Egypt. That was before God delivered them. So every time they celebrated the Passover, it was a reminder of how bad things was in Egypt. Verse 23 says, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will do what? He'll pass over and not suffer the destroyer to come in unto the house to do what? To smite it. Let's see. Let's look at the outcome of what God told him to do. Let's see if putting the blood on the mantle really had a positive effect, or was God just telling a lie? We know that God can't lie, right? So let's see, is what he said came true. Go to Psalms 103. I told you I'm going to give you some words today. Psalms 103. We're going to find out by taking the lamb, killing the lamb, putting it on the blood on the lintel, did it really do anything that God said it would do? Psalms 103, verse 37 says, and he brought them forth. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble one among them. So if I ask the question right now, what did the blood do? The blood did three things. The blood provided what? Protection. The destroyer tried to come in and saw the blood, and he couldn't get in. The blood provided protection. The second thing the blood did, the blood provided deliverance, because they got out of Egypt, didn't they? It provided deliverance. The third thing the blood provided was provision. The Bible says that they came forth with silver and gold. With silver and the blood has power if we apply it correctly. So let's name those three things again. What does the blood provide for them? Protection, deliverance. Y'all sound like y'all broken record. Let's try it again. The blood provided what? One more time. And that was the animal. You get that when you get home. That was an animal. If an animal can provide protection, deliverance, and provision, what can the blood of Jesus Christ do? But the key to it, though, was this. They had to use hyssop, and hyssop was a type of faith. Because keep in mind, no one ever told someone to put blood on a mantle and it's going to deliver you before in their life. We got to apply what God says to do in faith. I got one amen. I'll say it myself, an amen. Amen. Well, why did God tell them to eat the flesh? Because the flesh gave them strength, healing, and wholeness. Because they had to do some walking. They had to do some walking. And they couldn't be weak for the journey God was taking them on. So when we eat our cracker, you think it's a cracker, but it's not. It's the body of Christ. It's supposed to give you strength. Supposed to give you healing and wholeness for the journey of this life. Well, let's prove it out. Did it happen to give them strength? Well, in Psalms 105, it says that here. There was not one feeble one among them. That means they all came off strong. I don't care if they were 100 years old, they were walking strong. Because the lamb. An animal, y'all. An animal gave them strength. An animal gave them healing. An animal brought wholeness to them. Not one feeble man among, not one. But that lamb again was pointing us to who? Jesus. Jesus Christ. So when we take communion today, I want you guys to take it with expectation. Don't let it be just a ceremony for you anymore. And matter of fact, I want you to start doing it at home with your family. Declaring God's word with expectation. We've been doing it for a while in my household. Once I find out what it meant, it wasn't a ritual anymore for us. It had a meaning behind it. So there got to be benefits in taking communion then. That was the Passover. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. First Corinthians 5, verse 7. When you get there, say amen. It says, purge out, therefore, that old leaven. There go that leaven again. See, the animal did the work, but we got to purge ourselves out with the leaven. That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ are what? Our Passover sacrifice for us. So you see that? Christ is our Passover sacrifice. Christ is. Our job is to purge those issues that the Holy Spirit brings up to us every day. Every day. God will be unfair to tell us to purge out something if he didn't tell us what to purge. He may tell it through different venues, but his number one venue is the word. If you want to know God's perfect will, just read this. It's the manuscript. And then he said, if you don't get it this way, I'm going to give you that comfort of the paraclete. He's be that little small voice in your ear saying, don't do this. Don't do that. Now, he's so kind and gentle, he's only a warner. You know, in your car, you got that little light that blinks when you run out of gas? It's only going to warn you. It's not going to say, pull over. All it's going to do is warn you. I like to say the Holy Spirit like a GPS system. We're in life lost. We're just going through life. But he says, no, go this way. Go that way. I always tell a story here. Walking with the Lord as a pastor, we bought a new house, and my wonderful wife, she got hungry. 1 o'clock in the morning, we just finished moving. She said, I want to get a 1/4 quarter pound burger from Giant Burger. At 1 in the morning, babe? Can we wait till tomorrow? Well, God told Adam, don't eat from the tree. He didn't tell Eve. It was Adam's responsibility to pass on the message to Eve. But sometimes, somewhat our wives, they get to it sometimes. I don't know if it's baby, baby, or sweetie, sweetie. I don't know what it is, but we try to do things that please them. So 1 in the morning, we just finished moving. So, okay, babe, let's go. I'll go. But the moment I put my coat on, the Holy Spirit said, don't go. He said, how do you know it was the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So I know the Holy Spirit said, don't go. Remember, God is merciful. But you know what? I want to please my Eve. So I get in the car, and we're going. We're going. But I know in the back of my mind, everything about Oakland is starting to come to my spirit. Everything. Wait a minute. You're in the wrong neighborhood, first of all. But keep in mind, the Holy Spirit said, don't go. We can override what he say, too. You know that, right? He won't force your will. I can prove it to you because God's perfect will is for no man to perish, but he allowed them to perish. But he tell them the way of salvation. So here I go driving along. As I'm driving, it's dark. It's like nobody on the road but us. And we get there, Lou. Sweetheart, what you want? She gives me an order. I get out the car. I go up to the window. And the moment I got to the window, these two young kids come around with guns. Put it in my face and said, get out the way. I'm going, bro. You ain't got to tell me no more. I'm going. But God said, don't go. Somebody was praying for me that night. God is merciful. Even when we don't deserve his mercy, God is merciful. That could have been the end of the story. And everybody would have said this, I guarantee you. It was such a nice person. What happened? That's what we say, right? When people die, untimely deaths, we say, oh, what happened? Well, what could have happened was that God was telling them by the Holy Spirit, don't go. Don't do this. Don't do that. And they go ahead and do it anyway and get the results. I know y'all spoke about funeral and said, boy, it was a good person, that brother. I don't know why he went like that. But then God may have said he went that way because he was disobedient to me. There was a pastor, very powerful pastor, from the Bahamas. He preached a message, and God spoke to him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The closer you walk with the Lord, it's much required for you. So he expects you to walk in more obedience to him when he says, don't do something. God told his pastor, don't fly here. Don't go. Don't do it. Disobey what God said, do. That plane crashed. But God gave the warning. God always gives us a warning. He wouldn't be a loving father if he didn't give the warning. There's always a check in your spirit saying, don't do that. If you want to know the barometer to gauge if it's God or man, it's called the peace of God. See, the peace of God will keep you calm in the midst of the storm. It won't make you as antsy as you want to be when you want to do something. That's the peace of God. So again, our job again is to do what? To get that leaven out. It ain't got to be major sin. It could be something that simply says, God says, go minister to that person right there. Go pray for that person right there. Disobedience is leaven. Disobedience is leaven. It's building up in there. And God trying to make you be like Christ, obedient even to the cross. See, that's why God can trust Jesus. He gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. What does that mean? That means every gift, all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow through Christ with no problem at all. You know why? He can trust them. He gave us a measure of faith. You know why? He can't trust us. Can he really trust you? I had a situation one day, and this was recent, y'all. Pray for me. This guy got on my last nerve. I mean the last nerve. I got plenty of nerves, but this was the last nerve he got on. Then God said, go pray for him. Get behind me, Satan. See, God can't trust us sometimes. And that's why the gifts don't flow from through us the way God wants them to. Can God trust you, pay you with the gift of healing? Can God trust you, God, with the gift of wisdom? See, those are precious gifts that God wants to give to everybody in the body of Christ. As the Spirit wills, the Bible says, but can he trust us with the gifts? Get the leaven out. Once that leaven's out, you'll see more miraculous things happen than ever before. God is trying to do what? Purge his church. Purge. That means we got fractions and divisions in the body of Christ. How can God do anything with us? This person ain't speaking to that person. That church, man, with that church. And the world going to hell. We got the answer. Purge out that leaven. Purge out the leaven. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We saw that in the Old Testament, when they took the Passover, it was a blessing to each person who did it. Amen? Verse 16 says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So what he's saying here is that communion should be a blessing for those who take it. But you can take it every Sunday for the rest of your life. But until you anchor it with your faith, it's going to just be a ritual to you. You have to understand that that blood shed was for you. And that blood has tremendous power in it. Do you know the blood speaks? We saw that Abel's blood was speaking. Jesus Christ's blood right now on the mercy is speaking on your behalf. It's saying, give them mercy and grace day and night. That blood speaks, saints. Let's walk through communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, a very familiar passage to all of us here. When you get there, say amen. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is what? Broken for you. Broken for you. What did the Lamb provide in the Old Testament? Y'all remember? Strength, healing, and wholeness. That was the animal. Jesus said that my body was broken for you. What does Isaiah say? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Jesus' body brought healing for you. That's why it says, my body was broken for you. Then he say, do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't say do this first Sunday in remembrance of me. He said, do it in remembrance of me. You can do it every day at home until your body comes in line with his broken body. You see, at Calvary, I call it the great exchange. Every sickness known to man was put on Calvary. When he got down, he said, guess what? I'm going to give you an exchange, my healing for your disease. I don't care what your disease is. A headache is a disease. God wants us whole. You know why? We got to do some walking. We got to walk this thing out in our community. We got to walk it out in our city, state, nation. God has a plan and purpose for your life. He wants you whole. He wants you healthy. And he wants you strong. That's God's purpose. And after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. He said, New Testament, what is a new covenant? Scripture says that my covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing going out of my lips. So if God said this covenant is new and the old covenant brought healing to you, the old covenant brought deliverance to you, how much more shall this new covenant bring to you? I want you right now to just prepare your hearts. Verse 29 says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh what? Damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30 is more powerful though. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. And then it says, and many sleep. I said, Lord, what does that mean? That's what he told me. He says that because people are not taking communion the way they should take it, premature death is setting in on them. And then it says, many have fallen asleep. Many have died. If you take this is like taking medicine that your physician has prescribed for you. But you got to take it in faith. It will add longevity, strength, and vitality to your human being if you do it in faith. We have to discern the Lord's body, saints. What did he mean? Was it true? I believe what he meant was true. So right now, I want you to examine your hearts, because we're going to take communion right now. I changed the order for a reason. Normally, we take communion right away to begin the service. But I wanted you guys to understand what the blood is all about. What his body was all about. And I want you to ignite your faith now when you take it. I don't care what your body feels like right now. Your body got to come in line with God's power. Your body got to obey the word of God. Now, taking communion is a covenant meal. What does that mean? It means that you have to be born again. If you're born again, that's the only requirement. And now through reading the word, we see that now we got to put our faith to this meal as well, too, to experience what God wants us to experience. I want you to stand up, and the ushers are going to lead you guys to take communion. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your sacrifice. You died for our sins. But you did not leave his soul in hell. He got up just for us. He got up and he took the blood to the true mercy seat in heaven. So that blood now, it speaks for us. Father, I thank you for your blood that he shed. I thank you for his broken body. And because of what you've done, we're going to remember today by taking communion. Thank you, Lord. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.